All right. I'm not sure if I see any faces I'm not familiar with, but as always, if you are new to Lake Country Bible Church, we sure like to get to know you better. So if you would fill out an envelope, man, a card in the envelope in that seat in front of you, there should be a pen and a form there. If you'd fill that out and put it in the basket by the door on the way out, we would sure love to know more about you. So I'll let Terry have it now.
Good morning. All right, I'm good. It is Memorial Day, and we need to keep in mind all of our people that have paid the ultimate price, that have stood in the gap to allow this country to continue on from and grow to what it is. We don't like sometimes what we see, but there's a reason why people are beating down our doors to get into the United States. So when we think about how bad it is sometimes, maybe you need to think about how bad it is in other places. Now, I always seem to be up here on Memorial Day and Veterans Day, so I think it's my duty to tell you exactly that Memorial Days and Veterans Days are two different days. Veterans Day is for everybody that has served. Okay, all those military veterans that took the time out of their lives to give time back for the country, that's what a Veterans Day is for. But Memorial Day is a special day set aside for all them people that, like I said, stood in the gap. And this could be veterans. This could be firemen. This could be police officers. That whenever the bad man is beating down the door or something's bad happening, they're willing to risk their own lives for somebody else. And the Bible says to the point that it's unusual for a man to lay down his own life for somebody else. But our ultimate Memorial Day is any time we think about the life that was laid down for our salvation, was it not? We should give memorial to every day about the price that was paid on the cross for our salvation, should we not? So we should go thinking on this Memorial Day, at this particular thing, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the price paid on the cross for us. Without that payment of your death on the cross for us, because we could not pay it, we did not meet the criteria that would be acceptable. Without that payment, we would yet still be in our trespasses or sin. We would still be separated from you and the family of God. But with that payment, and with us trusting in the finished work of the cross, understanding the gospel and believing in the gospel, we have become a member of the family of God. And we do this, it's a free gift. We do this, we can do nothing. We just have to accept it, Father. And we thank you so very much. We don't deem to understand it because it's unfathomable for us to understand. But on this Memorial Day, let's remember the ultimate sacrifice that was paid for us some 2,000 years ago on a cross by the Lord Jesus Christ when he paid the price for our sins. Father, be with us as we go through the rest of the service. Be with Mike as he brings forth the word. Be with our people that are not here because they're here from illness or other obligations that they have to go through today. We pray that you would bring them back to us quickly, because we miss every piece of the body when it's not here. We ask that you would give us the ability to show your glory in our life. Show that, should be that shining beacon on the hill, that they don't see us, but they see you in us, and it draws them to us, to you through us, and you us.
Take a tour of a place from the comfort of...
Somebody just interrupted my prayer. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we thank you so very much for this. I pray this in Jesus' name. Now, I missed my announcement, so I got to do announcements. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, no problem.
I get this confused sometimes on announcements and prayers, so I went straight into the prayer. So announcements. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock in this room back over here. Mr. Ray and Miss Ruth, they kind of lead that for us. Anything's on for prayer, come up. Anybody's more than welcome. Please come up if you have time to pray. Women's Bible study, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m., Terry Buckler. Don't see her, but she's here. Oh, she's back in the sound room. She's hiding from y'all today. Terry Buckler, I think she hit the button and made the noise happen. Anyway, because it never happens if she's not back there. Wednesday Bible study, Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. All you ladies are invited. You gentlemen, if you just want to come along and talk to Ray, I'm sure he'll talk to you. If you're enough, if you come, you can probably go next door and get some coffee. I don't know. Wednesday night service, prayer, and Bible study is at 6 p.m. Everybody's welcome to this one. I think Ray's teaching us at this particular time. He does a wonderful job. As I teach through the Bible, he teaches topical, and he's just a great teacher. I wish I'd come and listen to him. Christmas Shoebox. Now, I know that Jean has been handling this, but Jean is down because she fell last week. Oh, no, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Everything runs together in my mind. But she fell 2 weeks ago, so she needs our prayers. I'm sure that if you have any question about this, Ruth can probably answer that, or Miss Terry, one of the ladies that are a thing, or get information to Miss Jean for that. Basically, guys, we're doing collections up right now of individuals, and they're going to have a box party where they put all the boxes together. So they're going to have a box party in sometime in whenever. So if you need things, they're this month in May and June, they're collecting hygiene items, small dolls, stuffed animals, jump ropes, soap bars, hairbrush, hair braids, etc. This is just an idea of what they want. If y'all can think of little small toys that can go in a box that kids would love to play with, you know, I'm going to date myself with Jax, I don't know. But stuff like that, all that is needed for the go in the boxes. One other thing, men's prayer meeting, is see it's on here. We're going to have some people out on Friday, so we're going to cancel this month. So we're not going to do it this Friday. If some of you men are interested in going but you can't go, and maybe y'all could do it on a Saturday, please come talk to me. We could change the dates. I would love to see more men at our prayer meeting. I think it's a good time. You know, the ladies, they get together 4 times a month, and we just get one day because, you know, we're out there, you know, slaying the beast and bringing home food and everything, you know. So, you know, that's our job. We're out there doing that, so we have less time to come together. So, you know, we have to go somewhere and have it cooked. So, anyway, enough of that. I'm going to turn it over to Brad.
All right. I think this is a song that you often don't get to sing in.
Okay, time for our prayer. Oh, no, prayer and reading. No, we're doing a reading now. Oh, we're done the prayer. Time for our reading of Scripture. And the Scripture reading this morning is from 1 John 5, 1 through 13. 1 John 5, 1 through 13. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, And this is the victory that he has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood, and the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this testimony is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony of God. He has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this testimony is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whosoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Good morning, church. Is everything working this morning? I want to tell you what a thrill it is to look out here and see some faces that I almost forgot what you looked like. Well, maybe some of it's a pleasure and some maybe not, but anyway, good to see y'all. Thankful that wherever you've been, you made it back home. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I was reading this week about this stationer who got a call from the local church, his biggest customer, about the pens that the church had ordered. And he asked the gentleman, the pastor of the church, said, hey, do you have a problem? And the pastor said, I sure do. And he said, well, did you get the pen? Yes, we did. Well, is the name all right on the pen? Oh, yes, that's correct. Well, what's the problem? He said, well, the inscription that you put on there under our name was meant for the country club. And the stationer said, well, what do you mean meant for the country club? He said, well, it says play golf on Sunday. And he said, that's just not right. So, not for the church anyway. Man called his pastor one day. Said, Pastor, is it right for someone to profit from somebody else's mistake? The pastor said, well, come to my office, we'll talk about it. So he went to and made the appointment, went to the pastor's study, and he said, well, I ask you, is it right for somebody to profit from somebody else's mistake? The pastor said, no, not at all. He said, are you certain? The pastor said, absolutely, I'm certain that's not right. He said, well, would you mind returning to me the $100 I gave you following my wedding last year? So, anyway, it's good to be with you this morning. This is a special weekend, Memorial Day, and I appreciate Terry reminding us of the importance of those who are not only first responders, but those who stand in the gap, if you would. And so we appreciate those individuals even here who stand in the gap and make sure that everything is in order and we are safe as we gather together. We're looking in the book of 1 John, and I've got to sort of shift into high gear this morning. I want to finish up with these last few verses in 1 John. So as we begin, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much for the grace that you have given to everyone, Father, that trusts Christ as their Savior. And Father, we thank you for that. We'd be lost and undone without grace. We'd be lost and undone without our salvation. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together here and to look into your word and see what you have for us today. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're looking in 1 John chapter 5, sort of as a short recap over a couple of verses. We find in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 5 that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So we find here in the Word of God that faith produces the new birth. It is a gift freely given by God to all those who believe in Christ as their personal Savior, as the one who's paid for all of their sin. God gives them eternal life. This faith produces not only the new birth, but it also encourages those who believe in him to live for him. And we find that in verse 2 of 1 John chapter 5, by this we know that we love the children of God. The whole book of 1 John is about loving one another. As I said before in some earlier messages, sometimes that's awfully difficult to do. Sometimes it's hard to really understand how we can know that we love the brethren, those who know Christ as their personal Savior. Here in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. This is how we know that we love the brethren, that we love God when we keep His commandments. We do as He has told us to do. How to live, how to worship, our responsibility to those who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And there may be some this morning that are here this morning that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If I were to ask each one of you personally, one-on-one, if I were to come down and walk up and down the aisles, which I may do, and I ask if you know where you're going when you die, do you know? Are you sure? Let me encourage you that you can be sure before you leave here this morning. You can be sure that heaven is your destination. But we can know that we love God when we keep His commandments. We can know that we love others when we keep His commandments. These are some things that John gives us. How is it that we love God? We keep His commandments. Simple. Easy. We know that we love God. In verse 3, John writes, and he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Burdensome does not mean here, or grievous does not mean here, that they are difficult to keep. It means that when we keep them, they're not hard to keep. God has made it particularly easy to those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. These commandments are not only not burdensome, they do not impose a burden when they are kept. In keeping these commandments is great reward. We find that in Psalms chapter 19. We find also in Matthew, "For my yoke is easy," Christ said, "and my burden is light." I find in the Word of God that there's two yokes that are mentioned. These here in Matthew, and then one mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 48. And that is a yoke of iron. So we as God's children, I think, have two yokes that we can carry. Either one that is easy, or one that is a yoke of iron. It's burdensome. How is it that Christ says here that His burden is light, or says in Matthew 11, "For His yoke is easy and His burden is light"? And we find in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, where we're told that His burden, His yoke, can be hard. What's the difference? We find over in the book of Deuteronomy, God said, "Because you serve me not with gladness and with eagerness, I'll put a yoke of iron around your neck." My question to you, and especially to me this morning, is what kind of yoke I'm carrying this morning. Is it one that is light and easy to carry, or is it a yoke of iron? It's our choice. We serve Him with joyfulness and with gladness, and it's not burdensome to keep His commandments. We can be assured that we have a yoke that is easy, and the burden will be light. If we're here this morning and we find, boy, it really is hard to get up and go to church on a Sunday morning and listen to Mike, it's just awful. I've worked all week, I haven't slept well, and I had to get up early at 6 o'clock in the morning just to get ready to go to church and get there on time. Let me say this, your burden might be a little bit burdensome. Your yoke might be hard. We find in verse 4 in 1 John chapter 5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You want to have victory in your life? Exercise faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Faith in the fact that God loves you. Faith that He's able to take care of you, to supply for your needs. Have you ever laid in bed in the middle of the night and wonder how your needs are going to be met? In the early days of our marriage, Nancy and I would say we were poor. That's what I'd say. Many a time I've laid in bed or woke in the middle of the night and wondered how we were going to meet our bills. Going to school, college, having a family, working, studying, Bible study on Monday night, every Monday night, picking up teenagers, carrying teenagers home, and by the way, we had some wonderful help in those days, picking up kids and bringing them to our youth work. Saw many of them trust Christ because of the faithfulness of some of those people that are with us this morning who jumped in and served the Lord in transportation needs years ago. But you see, there's expense to that. And we had our own family. It's tough. I've woken up in the middle of the night and wondered how we were going to pay our bill. But I've come to find out that God is faithful. Faith in Him. Our faith is our victory in our walk with Him. Man, we find here, is an overcomer when he trusts Christ as his personal Savior. We are God's ambassadors, and how we represent God and Christ and the truthfulness of the Scriptures is very important as we walk this walk in this life. Overcomers, one who believes in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it'd be good if you're here this morning and you are coloring your pages that you put your pen down and that you listen to what I have to say. Faith overcomes the world. Without faith in Christ as your personal Savior, you're doomed. You're doomed to hell forever and ever. Very important that you pay attention, that you listen to what's being said. It's the Word of God. Pay attention. Okay? What I'm saying is this is important. It can affect your life from now on, even into eternity. If you've never trusted Christ and you don't trust Him, then you're lost forever and ever and ever. God suggests you pay attention. That's a little bit harsh. I don't like to be harsh, but it's very important. Very important. Overcome. Are we overcomers this morning? We find in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. In this verse, we find the water is the Word of God. It's living water. It's water that God promises and Christ promised to all those who trust Christ as their personal Savior. It refers to blood, the death of Christ for our sins, which results in forgiveness and eternal life to all of those who believe. It speaks of the Spirit, the truth of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, who comes in and applies that truth to our hearts and minds. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. We find in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Let's look at verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. When Christ died, hung on that cross, an old centurion soldier comes up and stabs him in the side, out flowed water and blood. That is witness to who Christ is and the death that he paid for our sin. These things, the Holy Spirit, the water, and the blood, bear witness to the truth of the Scriptures and the forgiveness of sin to all who believe. We find here that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. That's sometime after the death and resurrection of Christ and the day of Pentecost. There was one who came. The Holy Spirit came. And he brought with him power for the believer to not only live, but to be a servant, if you would, to be profitable in his walk with the Lord as far as spiritual things are concerned. You see, the Holy Spirit must work before anyone can be born again. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes in and does the conviction in that unbeliever's heart and mind. Do you know what today is? Pentecost. Pentecost 2023, 2023 years ago, the Holy Spirit came. And some marvelous things happened on that original day of Pentecost. We find those mentioned in Acts chapter 1, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Christ said, don't go out, don't go preach till the Spirit, the Comforter, comes and empowers you. We find John in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath's day journey. Verse 13, when they were come, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of Jesus, of James. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. They waited for the Holy Spirit. Come, their comforter, our comforter today, that same Holy Spirit that empowered the apostles to do miraculous deeds indwells every one of us who know Christ as our personal Savior. We find what all it accomplished, or the Holy Spirit accomplished, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts 2, verse 1, and we're all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Verse 6, now when that was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how we hear, or how we every man, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Goes on and tells where all these people were from, all over the world. Verse 11, or verse 12, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. Peter rebuked them. He says, not so. So much was the power that was given unto Peter. Peter, we read in Acts chapter 2, preached a sermon following this, 3,000 trusted Christ as their personal Savior. A few chapters over in Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, we find Peter then preaches another sermon under the power of the Holy Spirit that then indwelt him, and 5,000 trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And this age in which we live, the church age, came into existence at that very moment when the Holy Spirit came as the Comforter Jesus promised. We receive the witness of men, 1 John 5:9. The witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Do you believe the record? Do you? Do you believe that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Don't know him this morning? Oh, I tell you what, I'd sure be uncomfortable. I believe I'd put down my coloring instruments and drawing instruments. Pay attention. Did I get your attention? You need to pay attention if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We find in 1 John 5, verse 10, and following all the way through to the key verse of 1 John, which is 1 John 5:13, all of these verses assure us of salvation and eternal life. He says, such as, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What's the record? We find in verse 11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. We find in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name Jehovah Yashad, on the name of the Son of God. That's Jesus, Jehovah Yashad. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Many's the time, in sharing the gospel, it never returns void because of the power that's in the gospel and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. So we find here, 1 John 5:10 through 13, all of those verses assure us of our salvation in Christ when we trust him. When we look at this thing, we find that John sort of changes pace in verse 14. And he says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. In moving along, I find here in this passage of Scripture, verses 14 and 15 and 16, that the requirement for our prayers to be answered is, number one, we have to pray in accordance to the will of God. Number two, we need to pray according to the Bible's instructions. And number three, we need to pray according to the Holy Spirit's leading. We find also that in this portion of Scripture, verse 16, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. This is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. John is just simply saying this. If someone has died and not trusted Christ as their personal Savior, there ain't no need in praying for them. They're in torment, separated from God forever and ever. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Everything that is right is not sin. Everything that is not right is sin, but every sin but not every sin is a sin unto death. We know, verse 18, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. The Holy Spirit indwells us, that new nature indwells all believers in Christ, and it never sins. The Holy Spirit, the new nature never ever sins. It's born of God. God's Word says that His seed remaineth in Him. We are secure as far as our salvation is concerned. All of our sins have been paid for. We find the new nature never sins, believing in the new nature and trusting in Christ as our Savior brings about a righteousness that is the righteousness of God Himself. We find also in verse 19, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we find that today as we look around. We find there's an indifference to the things of the Lord. There's an indifference in the world today. But we find also that victory in our walk with the Lord is by faith. Number one, by prayer. Number two, by reading the Word of God. We can have victory. Our faith is our victory. Our victory in our walk is accomplished by faith, by prayer, and by reading the Word of God. Verse 20, chapter 5, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is our teacher. He is our convictor. He is our encourager. He is our teacher. What a blessing to have the Holy Spirit in us who know Christ as Savior. John closes the book of 1 John with verse 21, chapter 5. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. John started this book with encouragement. He's ending it with instruction. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. I would encourage you and myself this morning, do not open yourselves to distraction in your Christian life walk. Distractions come easy. Don't fall for that. Many times Satan rocks us to sleep with distractions. Distracts us from our walk with the Lord. This morning, you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me encourage you this morning that you can know Christ as your personal Savior and have eternal life. Not listen to anything else this morning. Please listen to this. Let this hand represent you and I. This box of tissue represents sin. God's Word says, I hate that sin, because that sin, letting this hand represent Christ Himself, separates you from me. People say, well, if I work hard enough, and I give enough, and I go to church enough, and I read the Bible enough, put enough in the offering box, I'll get to heaven. God's Word says those are filthy rags. God says, I love you, but I hate that sin. I love you so much, I'm going to send, letting this hand represent Jesus Christ, I'm going to send my Son. He's going to take your sin and pay for it, and give you his righteousness to go to heaven on. And he says he'll remove that sin as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. You never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Please take God at his word. Believe what God's word says concerning how you can have eternal life. And that's through faith in what Christ has done for you. Trust that his death is full and complete payment for your sin. God's word says that when you do that, he'll give you eternal life. Let's pray. You're here this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Maybe you have realized that you're not sure where you'll spend eternity. Let me once again say, you can be sure. And I would beg you this morning to trust Christ and what he's done for you to get you to heaven. It's not by works. It's by belief. It's not by starting or stopping or doing anything to clean up your life. God's word tells us he loves us just like we are. You're here this morning and you're not sure of heaven as your home. Would you just be honest with God in your mind, in the stillness of your own mind? Would you just be honest with God and tell him that you know there's things in your life that shouldn't be, that he calls sin. You realize and understand there's no way that you can pay for that yourself. The best way you know how, you trust in Christ and what he's done for you to get you to heaven. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to do something for me, and this won't save you. It's just giving me an opportunity to see who you are, know who to pray for in the weeks to come. I won't call you forward, call you by name, or get with you after the service between you and the Lord. But if you're here this morning, the best way you know how, you're trusting Christ, what he's done for you, would you just slip up your hand till I see it, and then you can put it down. Anybody? God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Best way you know how. Not promising to serve him. You're not promising to do anything. You're taking what God offers to you. That's the free gift of eternal life. Would you do that this morning the best way you know how? Slip up your hand till I see it. God bless you. Anybody else? Fine. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. We thank you for loving us like you do, even when we're unlovable. Father, you love us. You care for us so much you sent your Son. He voluntarily came, hung on that old rugged cross, shed his blood, gave his life, we might have everlasting life. Rose again on the third day, and now in heaven with you, making intercession for us at your right hand. Thank you for that. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for these two who trusted you, are indicated in trusting you this morning. Best way they know how. Bless them. Watch over, care for them, keep them, strengthen them. Father, we give you the honor and praise. We ask all these things in Christ's name.